You're tuned to WFHB
91.3
and 98.1 FM.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM. Reporting live for WFHB, this is Leah Carter.
And I'm Scott Weddle. This is the Daily Local News for Wednesday, January 11, 2017.
This is going to be a fight that lasts for 4 years, and it's going to be won or lost by how many people are in the streets.
Local residents are countering Donald Trump's inauguration with a day of workshops, marching, and rallying. We hear from two organizers later in the show.
Also coming up in the next half hour, scams to watch out for in 2017. On a new edition of our consumer watchdog segment, Better Beware. But first, your daily headlines.
A Bloomington-based biotech company announced today it plans to expand and add at least 15 new jobs. AB Biotechnologies says they will build a new manufacturing facility on the west side of town on West Jonathan Drive. The announcement comes one day after the Monroe County Council approved a tax break that will save the company about $830,000 over the next 10 years. That's in addition to other tax incentives offered by the state. In total, the company will save about $1.5 million in taxes. County Council member Jeff McKim says the arrangement is good for the county.
Well, it's a terrific project. It's located in the county's West Side Economic Development Area. It's currently unused land right now, and turning that kind of unused infill land into good jobs is, I think, really exciting for us.
AB Biotechnologies will reportedly use the new facility for formulating, filling, freeze-drying, and packaging injectable drugs for clinical trial studies. There are various criticisms of tax abatements. Some critics say tax breaks are given to companies that might very well expand without them. McKim defended the county's choice to cut the taxes for AB Biotechnologies.
Generally, I think it's a good thing to incentivize, to use what tools we have in a straightforward manner to incentivize the investment into activities that actually create income for local residents. Yeah, we could certainly roll the dice, but I don't think that would be a wise bet for local residents.
Yeah, just to clear that up, they would save approximately $1.15 million in taxes for AB Technologies. According to paperwork submitted to the county by AB Biotechnologies, pay rates at the new jobs will range from $12.50 per hour to $53.88 per hour. The paperwork indicates the company plans to hire at least 15 permanent full-time employees as a result of the project. Although the Bloomington Economic Development Corporation released a statement today indicating the project would create, quote, up to 33 new high-wage jobs by 2020, unquote.
Yesterday, the county council also approved pay raises for sheriff's deputies. In the meeting, Sheriff Brad Swain said a competitive salary will both retain and attract quality personnel.
For the record, deputies are a collective bargaining unit, and so they negotiate their salaries. From my standpoint, I think a good salary is important to retain deputies and also attract good candidates. We have a recent application process to fill the positions created by the LIT, and to streamline, we advertise just for certified officers who've already graduated from the police academy, and the numbers were disappointingly small. I thought we would have more active police officers interested in coming, and we had a total of five positions, and there's no guarantee that we'll find we may find all of them suitable or absolutely none of them. So that's one of the reasons that I support this contract that's been presented, is it is a benefit for me as an administrator as well.
County Attorney Jeff Cockrell said the raises were calculated after a review of the average compensation paid to officers in other Indiana counties.
In September, we received the WIS salary review for the sheriff merit deputies, and then after that, we incorporated that into this contract with using the base salaries, average base salaries of I believe 17 different Indiana counties and cities. It's kind of the base average for our deputies, and that is the primary driver of any budgetary change here. Again, it took a starting deputy's salary from $39,000 and some dollars to $43,489, and that is the direct result of a comparison done by our consultant for these types of things.
In addition to the increased base pay, deputies can receive an increase at the 1, 3, 8, and 14-year marks. Sergeants will now receive $51,722, and lieutenants will receive $53,195. According to County Attorney Michael Flory, the salary increase will cost the county $220,000. In addition to amending the salary ordinance, the council approved funding three sergeants' positions with public safety tax proceeds at a cost of nearly $75,000 each, including benefits. Council members Marty Hawk, Cheryl Munson, Eric Spoonmore, and Ryan Cobine addressed the council's long-term goal of funding an additional sheriff's deputies out of public safety tax money in 2017 and 2018. Here's council member Cheryl Munson.
We are planning for five new deputies in 2017, but I'm not sure that the LIT funding for 2018 can accommodate five additional deputies, plus the five added this year, plus the three sergeants. And I just wanted to tell you that's my view of where we will be in 2 years, and I still support this.
Council member Marty Hawk says funding the extra deputies is possible.
But we'll have to pick and choose what we think is more important, and maybe some of the other things we thought we were going to do, we might not be able to do, or we may have to take a look at any of the growth in the revenue that we see coming in 2018 and know that we have already spent it. We've already spent it because we obligated ourselves to 10 deputies.
Other business, the council gave its unanimous support for a 5-year bond to buy 55 acres of land next to the Monroe County Airport. The arrangement of the county council changed with the new year. Ryan Cobine replaces Cheryl Munson as president, and Shelley Yoder moves into the vice president position.
Indiana's comprehensive ban on automated phone solicitations, or robocalls, has withstood a court challenge by the nonprofit Patriotic Veterans Incorporated. That company hoped for an exception to the statute, claiming it violated the First Amendment of the Constitution. Last week, the United States Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit disagreed and upheld the ban. Indiana Attorney General Greg Zeller said that consumer complaints about unwanted or robocalls remain the top complaint received by his office. Zeller said they received more than 15,000 calls in 2016. Indiana residents can sign up for the Do Not Call list or file a complaint about calls at indianaconsumer.com or by calling 1-888-834-9969.
The City of Bloomington will co-host an open house and meet and greet event in the City Hall atrium on Saturday, January 14th from 2 to 4 p.m. It's an opportunity for city residents to enjoy light refreshments as they explore available resources, services, and programs in Bloomington. The city is co-hosting the event with the Council of Neighborhood Associations and IU's Division of Student Affairs. Attendees will be able to meet with representatives from those own organizations, as well as local police departments and the city's Housing and Neighborhood Development Department. In a press release, Mayor John Hamilton said, quote, "If you have an idea or concern, this is an excellent place to meet the people and find the resources to make it a reality or discover ways to address it," unquote. For more information, contact Vicki Provine at 812-349-3505. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Leah Carter.
And I'm Scott Weddle. On January 20, local residents are planning a series of events they are calling Inaugurate the Revolution. The plans are taking place on the same day as the inauguration of President Donald Trump. Last Monday, hosts of WFHB's Bring It On, Amrita Myers and Cornelius Wright, sat down with two of the organizers of the events, and we bring you part of that conversation now for today's WFHB Community Report.
Two of the core organizers for Inaugurate the Revolution are Stanley Jaguna, a founding member of IU Students for a Democratic Society, and Alice Corey, a local writer and photographer affiliated with the Equity Collective. Stanley and Alice, thank you so much for joining us, and welcome to Bring It On.
Thank you all so much.
So, tell us about the project. Who came up with the idea? What's going to be happening? I'm really excited to hear all about it.
Okay, so Inaugurate the Revolution was initiated by a Facebook post of mine in mid-November. I had seen some graphic flyers circulated on Twitter and Facebook from some anti-fascist groups in the United States, and they were calling for a general strike on the 20th. So I made a post and I asked who in my friends list had had experience with labor strikes. And then I got connected with the two other organizers who aren't here, and they brought Alice along. And, well, we decided that it wasn't the best idea to do a strike. So we were like, okay, well, we're going to protest it somehow. How do we go beyond the usual model of protest? How do we go beyond people coming together, listening to a lot of speeches, and then just dissipating, right? So Inaugurate the Revolution is meant as, first and foremost, a huge event to signify strength and unity and solidarity amongst the community and with marginalized populations. And it's supposed to rally people around the same principles and say that our vision is still here and we still matter. And by doing that, we vehemently condemn Donald Trump and everything that he stands for.
So this is not just one event. It's really an entire day of multiple events, many of which are happening simultaneously throughout the day. So I was wondering maybe, Alice, you could speak a little bit, because you've been doing a lot of the sort of scheduling. And maybe you could maybe take our listeners through sort of what the offerings are that are going to kind of be available throughout the day, how this is all going to come together. I know that we end with a huge rally in the evening.
So what we've tried to put together is a day of short, mostly 1 to 2 hour sessions of activism, and we've got some teach-ins, we've got service projects, but they're kind of chunked out during the day so you can go from one to another. And they're on topics of all sorts. We've got things from peacemakers, the Bloomington Peace Action Coalition, we've got IU professors such as yourself doing teach-ins and workshops on topics that they study. And I mean, we have various members of leftist and anarchist groups in Bloomington even. So we really have a wide range of offerings. You can kind of put together a schedule so that you can maybe check out one thing and another and get really a broad range of tactics and perspectives, maybe some of which you've not known of before or experienced.
Some of the topics that you have?
Oh, goodness. Well, one of them that I'm really excited about is called The Revolution Will Be Accessible. It's a topic that is really important because as activists, we fall into these patterns, you know, march in the street, hold up signs, but we don't always think about how to include everybody of all abilities, different abilities in our activism. So I'm excited. That's one I'm going to be attending myself, I hope, if I get a chance. And we've got one on, it's a film screening about MLK. So kind of bouncing off of MLK Day earlier in the week, we're going to have a film screening.
So when you came, when you got out of the military, some of you have mentioned folks that you met along the way and whatnot else. Did you have any people that you remained friends with? Were there connections and people that you still knew? I mean, for the most part, I mean, with one exception, you were all pre-Facebook. You know, there wasn't an option to track people through social media. Did you stay in touch with?
I'm Marilyn Dallas. I work at New Leaf, New Life. New Leaf, New Life is a nonprofit organization in Bloomington that serves people currently and formerly incarcerated. Inside the Monroe County Jail, New Leaf provides educational and recreational programming, including an addictions recovery dorm and GED classes. Once released from jail or prison, community members are welcome at our Transition Support Center, where we provide clothing, hygiene products, computer access, and basic casework. We are located at 1010 South Walnut Street in Suite H and can be contacted at 812-355-6842.
Break away from the daily, you know, humdrum of things and take action.
So what time do events start?
Yes. We've got check-in going on at 9. We are asking folks to kind of check in with us. You know, there's a lot going on this day. It's going to run almost like a conference with a schedule, and, you know, we'll say, here's where everything is, here's a map, here's, you know. Our first slate of workshops begin at 9:30, and then they're going to run all day till about 5:10, giving us a few minutes to kind of assemble for our march.
And the march is going to start where?
We're planning for the march to start at the Monroe County Public Library, which is where most of our workshops are going to be taking place.
Around what, the 5:30-ish mark?
5:15.
And okay.
This is going to be just a march around the downtown area and then back toward the Buskirk. We've got a lot of folks lined up to lead chants and make it a really joyous march, kind of building on what we've been doing all day, not focusing on one issue, which is often the case with marches, which is fine, but there's so many issues at play here.
We have to conceive of something that really swings the pendulum back in our favor. Because whenever you look throughout history, the only thing that has accomplished that in the face of so much oppression has been people coming together and building mass movements and affirming the fact that they won't settle for this,
right,
that we deserve a better world, and that we can have the power to institute it. So Inaugurate the Revolution is a full day counter-inaugural. What happened on November 8th, 2016 was not the end of the world that we want to see. Rather, it was the beginning of a long, beautiful struggle to create it.
Tell me how you are defining the word revolution, because I think a lot of people hear that word and all they think of is guns and blood. I want you to tell them what this word really means and how you are envisioning it and using it.
So we've actually dedicated a whole little part of our website to this because there's so much, so many different interpretations of the word revolution. But for us, it's not necessarily a violent coup, the like of which you would see in a movie. But we're conceiving of revolution as a radical act of love, a complete changing of the paradigm. And this is done by us, for us. We are not going to rely on anyone else but our own communities. We're not going to have the government do it for us because they can't. And so we show our solidarity with us by any means necessary. And we're going to try to figure what that means on the 20th.
Speaking with hosts of WFHB's Bring It On. To find out more about the event, visit inauguratetherevolution.com.
Support for WFHB and the Daily Local News comes from Smithville Fiber, a local provider of internet, voice, and TV service, now also offering home automation and security systems for homes and offices throughout South Central Indiana. More information on Smithville's home automation service is available at smithvillesecurity.com.
Support for WFHB also comes from Growing Opportunities, a social business project of the South Central Community Action Program. Growing Opportunities is an urban hydroponic farm that provides job training opportunities for low-income people with barriers to employment, especially people with disabilities. They grow produce that is sold to local eateries, supermarkets, hospitals, and schools. Information is available at 812-332-2168 or online at insccap.org.
Up next, our weekly Consumer Watchdog segment, Better Beware.
Welcome to Better Beware. Here's your Consumer Watchdog from WFHB Community Radio with the latest information and helpful hints designed to keep your head out of the clouds, your feet on the ground, and your money in your pocket.
Well, it's 2017, and we're just going to have to live with that. This year, we'll see more scammers than ever before targeting you and me with pretty much the same con games, because they work. The crooks are forever putting a fiberglass body on a riding lawnmower and calling it a Lamborghini, but down inside, the scams to watch out for this year work just the same as last year's. Fake emails that look like they come from some business you deal with, or even some government office, continue to harvest lots of identities from anyone who clicks on a link or attachment. As you know, most unexpected emails can simply be deleted. But if you want to check on one, open a browser and type in the address of the real website. Do it carefully, too, because fake websites are up there, websites that look just like the websites of all those companies you deal with, and fraudsters buy up domain names that are one letter different from the real ones. Make a typo, and you won't know the difference. Until they take your money and your personal information, then borrow a lot more money in your name and vanish. Ransomware viruses are getting sneakier and smarter. Some are just screen lockers that won't let you do anything, but some encrypt all your data and hold it hostage, usually demanding you cough up $500 before a deadline. There are beginning to be some security programs that can block ransomware or even decrypt your data, but they're still new and primitive. All you can really do is back up your data and be damn careful what you click on. Ransomware can infect your computer, laptop, tablet, smartphone, and now, as of Christmas 2016, your smart TV. Darren Cawthon, out in Kansas, had a smart TV, and some family member browsed the web and downloaded a free movie-watching app, Zap. By now, I'm sure you get all your apps from a secure app store, right? You know, a company that investigates every program and the people who wrote it. But the most dangerous scam we'll face this year is the one that exploded so astonishingly last year. Fake news. Outrageous, surprising stories that scare you, make you mad, and spread hatred and despair. They may be a nest of lies embroidered around a kernel of truth, but they can be all lies and work just as well. Fake news stories spread like viruses on the internet, especially on social media, and sometimes get picked up by mainstream news. Most people hear them from a friend, and because they trust the source, don't bother to find the facts for themselves. It's been said that a lie can go round the world while truth is getting its boots on. In the coming year, you'd better keep your boots on. Maybe even get a pair of waders. I'm Richard Fish for WFHB News and Public Affairs.
Better Beware comes to you from WFHB Bloomington, Indiana. Find all our episodes at WFHB.org. If you can help put the kibosh on a con, email beware@WFHB.org. Remember, swindlers never give a sucker an even break.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Joe Crawford and Kathy Norton, along with Sarah Vaughn for Cats Week, in partnership with Community Access Television Services. Better Beware was produced by Richard Fish. Our feature was produced by the crew of WFHB's Bring It On and edited by Joe Crawford.
Our engineers today, Heather Perry. Our theme music provided by The Impossible Shapes. Executive producer, Joe Crawford. For WFHB, this is Scott Weddle.
And I'm Leah Carter. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. Recognized among the best newscasts in 2015 by the Indiana chapter of the Society of Professional Journalists.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. Send inquiries to news@wfhb.org. And stay tuned for Standing Room Only, our award-winning weekly lecture series, coming up next on WFHB.
The Daily Local News is produced by a staff of over 50 volunteers
working in the WFHB News and Public Affairs Department.
Comments, suggestions, and story ideas
may be submitted directly to our news staff via email.
The address is news@wfhb.org.